This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the code EAST. That's E-A-S-T, EAST. Welcome to East Meets West, episode 200. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
And we're joined by a special guest, Owen J.J. Stone, better known as Odocta. Welcome, Odocta.
Thank you for having me. I am sticking around, camping out, living here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Odocta, if you don't know, just did the TWIT podcast, This Week in Tech. And then after the TWIT podcast, hung out and sort of a mini East Meets West episode broke out between him and Leo about politics. And so we figured, well, crap, he's good. We should have him just hang around and starve him to death a little more. So how long have you been at the cottage?
I've been at the cottage since 11:30.
And you finally got a sandwich, though.
I finally got a sandwich, and I got two bites of the sandwich. And now I have to articulate and be in the middle of the East and the West and do this thing with you.
Well, here's the thing about East Meets West. It's a very experimental podcast, right, Roger?
Yes, it's experimental in so much that we don't really have a defined tangent.
That means that your part of the conversation could easily be eating the sandwich.
Oh.
There's no rule against that.
Well, it's a pretty good sandwich. The bread's a little tough, but it's a pretty good sandwich.
What kind of sandwich? Is it a turkey sandwich?
It's a turkey and ham Swiss sandwich.
No ham.
Turkey Swiss lettuce mayo.
What is it about the sandwich that makes it the default? And it's not even just in the United States. It's kind of worldwide. Sandwiches
default
kind of taken over.
Like for eating? Or?
Yeah, whenever it's like, oh, I need some food real quick, or I need a lunch, I'll grab a sandwich.
It's because it's a mobile food item that you can hold and eat with one hand.
Right.
So if you are on the go, you can grab. I mean, you know, if you think about it, people like burritos for the same reason. You can, especially if you get a smaller one, you can just eat it with one hand, leave in the foil, and you don't have dishes, utensils. All you need is a napkin.
It's the convenience factor. Also, the nutrition factor, right? Because you can go either way, right? But you could potentially get all the major food groups in your sandwich.
You could.
You could get your vegetables, your fruit.
You could also get tons of mayo and oil and all that lovely stuff, some salt on there. The thing about it is it's cheap. The sandwich is cheap and it keeps. You can't really have pasta sometimes. It gets old or hot or sauces. But a sandwich, you know, you can make it dry, stick it in a bag. PB&J will last for a lifetime.
I don't recommend eating one after a lifetime, though, if it's been made a lifetime before.
There is a limit. That's true.
How would you know?
I think the thing about a sandwich is freedom. Is the thing that makes the sandwich. And that is why it is a quintessential, although I believe it was invented by a Brit, it is the quintessential American food.
It was the name that we use now is coined after the Brit, but the concept of the sandwich predates his existence by a few centuries, I believe.
Where did the sandwich originate, Roger?
I believe it originated from the Middle East. It was, except instead of two separate slices of bread, it was a wrap. You know, you take one flat bread and you roll it.
That sounds like a good answer. I'm a back Chang's answer on that.
Right, because the classic story is that the Earl of Sandwich wanted a food that was quick and on the go, and his baker, his chef, took two pieces of bread and put the roast beef in the middle, and then everybody started eating the food the way the Earl of Sandwich did, and then it just got shortened to sandwich.
So you've been drinking today, Tom.
I wish I had. No, that's a true story. You never heard that story?
I'm backing up Senior Chang. Your story sounds a little bogus.
That's the story of where we get the term sandwich.
Oh, okay,
that doesn't necessarily mean that Roger's wrong about the Middle Eastern.
I still don't believe you, though, for some reason, about the sandwich.
I mean, do you find a sandwich as, you know, meat filling surrounded by bread? Or does it have to be two slices of, you know, non-connected bread that you put food in between?
Right. Are you a strict constructionist?
Oh, there's a good question.
Or maybe
a
federalist.
Do you cheese meat or do you cheese meat cheese?
I don't actually. I skip the cheese. I'm trying to cut back on the cholesterol. That sounds good. Usually just get the meat, the lettuce, the onions, and the tomato, no mayo, and just whole wheat.
You're a good man.
All right,
man.
Now thanks to the chat room, I've got the Wikipedia article up here, and it says the ancient Jewish sage Hillel the Elder is said to have wrapped meat from the Paschal lamb and bitter herbs between two pieces of matzah during Passover, which is beginning right now. So concept of a sandwich, very timely. It goes right back to Passover.
There you go.
Woohoo!
I backed the right horse on that one.
I win $1 million.
Cash.
The immediate cultural precursor with a direct connection to the English sandwich was to be found in the Netherlands of the 17th century, where the naturalist John Ray observed that in taverns, beef hung from the rafters, which they cut into thin slices and eat with bread and butter, laying the slices upon the butter.
Hmm. It's a lot of...
So basically, we've been doing sandwiches forever. There's the Earl of Sandwich, whatever. He coined a term. He marketed it better. But sandwiches have been around for a long time.
They're going to be around for a long time, too. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, because they're so convenient. I go back to my earlier point. They represent freedom. Your sandwich can mean anything to anybody, essentially. And it gives you the freedom to travel, to do a podcast while you're eating it.
There you go.
You know what they need to do? Is they need to make a large, oversized novelty sandwich-shaped suitcase. So it's a suitcase, but it's shaped like a sandwich.
Didn't the Hamburglar have one of those? It was shaped like a burger. That's close enough to a sandwich.
That sounds
he had a briefcase. He had a burger briefcase.
Is technically a sandwich, isn't it?
Yeah, a burger could be technically a sandwich. So
I believe it was called a hamburger sandwich in its early days.
Now see, again, I don't believe you when you say these things. You just don't.
Well, Hamburg is the city, right? So, you know, the sandwich from Hamburg, like a.
Why you don't believe me when I say these things?
I don't know. You don't. You're not saying with the authority that Chang is. Chang's like just dousing out. You sound a little sketchy.
It's because I wear glasses. Oh. Tom, you don't wear glasses. You lack that.
That must be what it is. Because when you have glasses, you do sound
smart. I don't have the gravitas.
That's what it is.
And here it is. Hamburger is a sandwich consisting of a cooked patty of ground beef.
You know, I don't like the fact that every time I say I don't believe you, you keep coming up with these statistical facts to prove your point. That's not helping the bit here. The gimmick is that the men of minority are together against you.
That's
the man of non-minority.
West, right?
That was the underline. You're ruining it for me.
Although technically in New California, there is really no minority or majority.
I'm from New Jersey.
Well, you're in California now.
I don't know that. I'm in a cottage thing with lights and I'm in a spaceship right now. I'm in a home spaceship.
Well, you
there's
are
cameras everywhere. Shape. There's lights blinking like
you're
at
up
my feet.
In Petaluma. That's not a far stretch. Oh my God! It's degraded into a Brian Brushwood show.
Trust me, it happens.
Yeah, that'll happen, especially when you have an element of a Brian Brushwood show join your show. It's inevitable, right?
Yeah, and we started off the show talking about sandwiches, guys. I mean, seriously, sandwiches. It's a pretty good sandwich, though. I'm really sad I can't eat it. I'm overweight. I haven't eaten all day. You have no idea the control that I have to not just nomp down on that sandwich.
I'm telling you, man, lay into the sandwich. Don't hold back on our account. Right. There is no precedent on East Meets West that says you cannot eat that sandwich while we podcast.
True.
That's good TV right there.
Cool.
Look at
that. While his mouth is full, we can talk smack about him so he can't reply except with a full mouth.
Hey, I've been backing you for the last 5 minutes. Don't make me switch the script. Tom's looking really good right now. All right. I'm going to Team Tom.
I respect a man in his sandwich, by
Team
golly.
Tom.
So before the show started, we both talked about watching Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine, right? What was your take on it, Roger?
I liked it a lot. I have not seen The Hangover, and everyone was telling me it's a lot like The Hangover. So probably why I enjoyed it more. But I really love the in-jokes, and it's probably because I watched all those movies where they were referenced from. So it's kind of like a giggle. Because there are these, I would say, women in their early 20s. Like, oh, did they really dress like that back then? And, oh, what is he talking about? I don't understand it. And it's just kind of funny because there's all these in-jokes in the movie. And I'm looking and all I can do is laugh because it's, oh, that's 16 Candles. Oh, that's Better Off Dead. Oh, that, you know, you pull in, you know, various bits of John Cusack and John Hughes. Into it. And, you know, it's not the greatest of plots, and a lot of the jokes are kind of juvenile, but they're funny anyway. I love it. It's great.
Yeah, I joked on Twitter that, you know, they got the science all wrong because really They're not worried about the science. They're not worried about the plot. They're not worried about the story. This is a bunch of strung together jokes with a very, very loose. It's essentially the same template they use for porn, except it's not porn. It's comedy with some porny elements to it, honestly. A couple people actually got up and walked out in the first 10 minutes where we saw it here in Oakland.
Because they just never heard that term.
The language.
Porny elements.
Yeah, you don't think so?
I thought it was... I don't know. Do you consider like things like Porky's and porn?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, you know, it wasn't porn, but some people might say, well, there was, you know, naked women in it. So
actually, to Kingy, no, I do not agree that Chevy Chase gets funnier with age. Actually, I never really found Chevy Chase all that funny.
You're upsetting me. Hold on a second. I'm sorry to interrupt you two gentlemen for a second. How have you not seen The Hangover yet, Mr. Chang?
No.
There's no excuse. Just don't answer. That was rhetorical. You need to watch that movie. That is a funny movie. Out of all the crap movies that have gone on in this day and age and all the men you hang around and the place in which you work, you haven't seen The Hangover and you're going to sit here and talk about a hot tub movie? Sir, please.
Yes, I will.
Sir,
talk
please
about
invest in this movie. I'm close to your vicinity. If you do not see this movie soon, I'm going to have to hurt you, Mr. Chang. Invest your time. Find something funny. Now go back to the hot tub talk. I'm going to keep biting this sandwich.
We're actually going to let Roger ponder that for a second. We got to take a quick break because this episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. Squarespace gives you, among many other things, an easy-to-use UI for creating and managing your website or blog, optimized for both beginners and CSS experts, not CSX experts, although you can make your site about whatever you want. But if you're a CSS expert... you're still going to be able to go in there and tweak all the stuff that you want to tweak, but you don't have to know about that. You can be a beginner. All-inclusive service. You get several modules to build your website. You get a blog module to import your old blog from WordPress, movable type, typepad. You can put Google Maps in there. There's a bunch of modules you can take advantage of. Use Squarespace for your website needs. And if you want to try it out for free, if you're thinking, wait a minute, I got to try this out, go ahead. Free trial, squarespace.com. No credit card needed. You don't have to put it in and then cancel later. They just do the free trial, no risk. And then if you decide to purchase it, you get 10% off when you enter the code EAST. And that's 10% off your lifetime subscription. So do that, squarespace.com. Don't forget the code EAST and just give it a shot. Back to hot tubs, Roger. All right, yes. So this isn't The Hangover. I have seen The Hangover. And The Hangover is a quintessential comedy, right? It is well constructed. Hot Tub Time Machine is not well constructed. It is poorly constructed, almost on purpose. But I agree with you. Like, it's still freaking funny because of all of the little in jokes and allusions and shtick that is original in a lot of sense. Like the shtick with Crispin Glover in his arm.
Who was also in Back to the Future, another time travel machine, and he had to worry about, or at least Michael J. Fox had to worry about not disappearing by screwing up the timeline. What Hot Tub Time Machine basically looks like is a SNL skit where they string every joke together, but not too worried about making sure there's a believable or even interesting plot in between. You just want to – the plot's a vehicle – literally to carry them from one joke to the other. And, you know, for the most part, I enjoyed it. It's not something I would say is highbrow comedy or even, you know, moderate level comedy, but it did keep me in stitches for like the hour and a half I was watching it.
I wasn't in stitches. I have to admit that. It sounds like you enjoyed it more than I did. I thought it was good though. And I was laughing. I thought the funniest thing was the shtick with Crispin Glover. Not a big spoiler here, but at the beginning of the movie, you see Crispin Glover's character and he only has one arm and he's the guy carrying the luggage up before they've traveled in time. When they travel back in time, he's got both arms. So of course the shtick is going to be, when's he going to lose his arm? Are we going to see it happen in the past? And so the way they play that out, you sort of expect certain things, right? And they defy those expectations. But I thought the way they resolved it was pretty great. And I know it's Hot Tub Time Machine, but I'm so sensitive to people being spoiled about stuff. I don't want to spoil it for you because it is pretty funny, don't you think?
I thought it was great. I keep telling you it's great. And you. Yeah.
Someone in the chat room just asked if Tom's ever actually laughed. And I will say that I have seen him laugh maybe once by accident. But normally, no, I don't ever see Tom, look. No, see, look. So you do that little half open mouth thing, but that's not laughing. That's the.
That's gas.
Exactly. That's
right. I'm like a baby.
There it is.
You just have to burp me and that'll go away.
Yeah.
So
I also liked Craig Robinson in singing. He did good.
Yes, he did awesome. And this, I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen the movie, but it's pretty funny what he does for the follow up song that he does on stage, and I thought it was brilliant. Oh, I'm still giggling.
Yeah, you actually, are like a little girl.
You can actually buy that. You can buy Let's Get It Started and Jesse's Girl by Craig Robinson. If you don't know, Craig Robinson's a guy from The Office, plays the warehouse manager. You can buy those songs on La La now.
That's great marketing. That is good marketing. More movies should do that. I've been in movies where like people sing things or they sing little songs, and I wish I could get them. That's awesome.
Yeah, honestly. Exactly. I mean, this is, not to delve too far into the tech talk, but this is the kind of thing I'm always talking about where you got to find new ways to market music, new ways to sell it. That's a way. People who saw that are going to want to check it out. They're at least going to want to stream it, right? And La La has that 10-cent streaming thing that you can do too. So
if Mr. Chang had saw The Hangover, I would recommend him trying to find that they sung on a piano, the Tiger song. But Mr. Chang doesn't like good movies, apparently. He likes 80s bathtubs with lots of men in them. And he finds that amusing for some odd reason.
I don't like good movies. I like great movies.
And Hot Tub Movie was a great movie?
Yes, it's a great, funny movie. I'm
you
not
are lucky
say
I'm held hostage in this cabbage.
In a cabbage?
Whatever this is, where am I? I don't know where I am. I'm in Petaluma, Elaluma. Look,
you went Alice in Wonderland on us. You're Chang, like, you live in a cabbage.
Oh, Jiminy, Tom, look, don't give me Chang's address because he is a down dog. I tell you, look.
Third cabbage on the
left. You need
to
go see a good movie. Oh, I'm so upset with you right now.
Wait, what do you recommend as a good movie other than The Hangover?
Other than Hangover? Nothing right now because you ain't even got time to watch that movie. Why don't you start with the basics? Lately.
Basics?
The basics. You made time for a Hot Tub Movie? I got drugged to a little Dragon 3D movie the other night. I forget what it is. How to Train Your Dragon. That was a pretty good
movie. That's the number one grossing movie.
Yeah, graphics were amazing, all that kind of stuff. Nobody mentioned nothing about no men in hot tubs. Nobody. And you two men found time to sit and watch hot tub, porky type movies. And Mr. Chang found it to be the funniest thing on the face of the earth. He is giggling to himself like a 3-year-old girl. I maybe need to see the hot tub movie, then I can talk. I haven't seen the hot tub movie.
Girl,
I should be quiet. I need to see the hot tub movie. As soon as I get out of this cabbage.
You know what?
As soon as I get out of this cabbage, I will go see the hot tub movie.
Left.
I'll go see it.
That I've noticed.
Mr. Chang, you see Hangover, I see hot tub movie.
All right, I think that's a deal. You guys need to each see the movie, and then we'll have you back for a rematch.
Yeah, because Tom the Laughless Wonder is the only one who's seen both. And we can't trust him because he doesn't laugh. Yes?
Can't trust it.
He has gas, though. Show some gas, Tom.
See, now that's the kind of humor Roger likes right there.
Yes, I make
fart jokes, poop jokes.
And you, oh, doctor, criticizing my comedic.
Come on, get angry at me, Mr. Chang. Get angry, Mr. Chang. Tell me your frustrations.
Roger, smash.
He's too nice. He can't get riled up. He tried right there.
No,
he's too nice.
You
can't do it.
He'd actually get me drunk. Tom, see me drunk and angry.
Doesn't take much.
Actually, doctor, how many times have you been in California? Is this
I lived in California from when I was 1 to 3, and since that time I've been here, about 23 times.
23 times.
Yep. In the last year I've been here 8. In 12 months I've been here 8 times. So, and I usually don't go to one place. I go from San Diego, LA, San Fran. And this trip I went to LA and San Fran. So I skip up and down the state when I'm here.
San Diego? Are you going to San Diego Comic Con by any chance?
I'm going to look into doing that. I was told it was awesome, so I want to do that.
Yeah,
you want to hang out?
No, I'm just wondering if you did, what you got for a hotel room, because my situation's still screwed up.
No, I have friends that live there. I'm an African American male, and I always believe that going free is the way to be. So I find friends in every city I go to, and I stay in a spare room or on a couch. San Diego, I have that situation already lined up. I've got a nice spare room. Somebody makes me breakfast in the morning. It's great. No,
Roger, you're
going
to try to crash in a spare room.
No, I don't think
Roger
so.
Roger gets crashed and sleep on the floor. You can get the floor.
I'll take pillows. The beach.
The beach? You wake beach up with time. Sand in your socks and your underwear. You don't want that.
That's it depends rough. On what you do on the beach where you get sand in your underwear.
You just said sleeping on the beach. See? Look.
What? You telling me when you sleep on sand, suddenly sand gets in your underwear? It's never happened to me.
When's the last time you slept on a beach?
About 5 years ago.
Then you don't even remember what happened because you don't remember what a good movie is. I can't trust you either. I can't trust anyone on this show. You want to tell me about now? How do you not go to the beach and not get sand? I walk on the beach, I get sand and everything. People put stuff in plastic bags because you get sand and stuff at the beach. See? You sleep on no beach, no sand.
I get sand in my shoes, but I don't get in my underwear.
I don't see. That's wrong. That is wrong.
Do you take off your clothes or something when you're on the beach?
No, it's sand. It gets in every crevice of everything. When you sit down, it's sand. You know, wind and it blows and it's sand. Sand.
You don't work.
Tom, back me up on this.
I got a back-o doctor on this one. Thank sand you. Gets everywhere. I mean, every time I've been to the beach, you come back, you got
you sand
in places you didn't know sand
when you come
could
back
get.
From the beach, you get sand in your underwear. You come home, you take
I've never
off
slept
the pants.
On the beach, so I can't say.
There you go. See, but if you
no,
slept
you
on the beach.
No, you can't say, so you can't back him
but,
up.
But he did but say, he gets, say you get sand by, everywhere.
I could say theoretically sand gets everywhere. So, I mean, I definitely had sand in my shorts from swimming in the ocean.
The chat room says that I'm right, Mr. Chang. So, I'm right.
You can't even get your socks or until the dry causes. I do not get...
We've blown the trust of myself and Roger for O-Doctor. Let's see if we can blow the trust for one of our listeners. Richard writes on subbrilliant.com/EMW, regarding the music on an album issue, you mentioned the listener of Buzz Out Loud that suggested the album being released as a single track. This was regarding Pink Floyd releasing Dark Side of the Moon as like one track if they didn't like people breaking it up. Richard says this happens reasonably regularly with a lot of progressive dance music. On iTunes, for example, you can buy individual tracks, which have extended starts and endings for remixing yourself, or you can buy the whole album and get all the songs plus an extended track with the album mixed together. Great incentive to buy the album as these extended tracks are mixed in the way the artist intended. Best of both worlds.
Yes.
That's all you got to say.
Well... It's you know, on iTunes you might have been, sure. I mean, I don't know. It's
I think it's brilliant, right? The idea is that you get both, right? You get people who want to buy the individual tracks, but then you mix them together in a way that says, hey, you're just not going to be able to experience this with the individual tracks. So you might want to buy the entire album as one extended track as well. So you get that DJ's mixing.
So, but I mean, if it's a DJ's mix, it's not the original song. Is it?
Well, no, but this is progressive dance music. So, yeah, it's all a DJ mix, whether it's individual tracks or not. It's basically just saying you got little snippets that you can have 3 or 4 minutes at a shot, or you can get the entire album as one big, long, extended dance mix.
But how does that apply to, like, people with regular, like, albums?
He's just saying this idea of selling an album as an entire track, like we were suggesting for Pink Floyd, happens a lot. In progressive dance music. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. Maybe some rock bands could take a note from that and say, hey, if you've got a concept album, you want people to experience as one album, mix it together so that it flows like one album instead of having any space between and then sell it as an extended track.
So basically delete the gap between the songs.
No, I think you do more than just delete the gap between the songs. Talking about mixing the stuff together so that it blends well.
No, it's the same thing. Well, my music blends at the end of my iTunes because I click a button that says fade in 6 second overlap. I mean, what people need to do to sell more music is make people care about their music and make better music. There's a lot of crap music out there, number one. Yes. You've got to fight against piracy. If you really want people to buy your music, make great music, connect with the people, and get back to more grassroots stuff. I mean, local bands don't want to make it big because they're making cash playing local gigs. People come out. People care. You know, the thing is people don't care because the market's saturated. And unless you can find a way to make people care, taking out the gaps is not going to make me buy a 30-minute record.
And, you know, the part of it is, like, you know, occasionally you'll come across the album that has, like, one or two great songs, and the rest are filler, just to fill out the album. They were compelled to add six more, you know.
Yeah, but that's not the kind of album we're talking about here. Those people aren't objecting to people not buying the album as a concept. We're talking about people like Pink Floyd, not people, but bands like Pink Floyd, who say, look, this album is meant to be listened to as a whole.
Then so they need to make a movie, make a DVD or something. And so yeah. I like that.
I like that. I like that option, yeah, too.
There you go. Go do a private concert, tape it, and release the DVD. You know, invite out 200 fans, make an extended movie.
There is something to be said for the headphone experience where you're like, there is no visuals. It's all in your head, too. So, but that's not a bad option, right? Make the movie version as well. They did that with The Wall, actually.
Yes, they did. But it also has, if the song or the music itself doesn't lend itself to that, I guess you wouldn't have a concept album. I don't know. Maybe the concept of a concept album is changing, and maybe it has to be a little more interactive, where you kind of have. Oop, go ahead.
Well, how about what CJM is saying here in the chat room? He says artists should decide all. They shouldn't have to make anything else or stuff like that. So, in other words, you know what? If the artist wants it to be one big album with spaces between the songs, then they get to do that, and you shouldn't be allowed to break it up. You think he's right?
If they want to sell it that way, I'm sure someone's going to take it and then chop it up and then resell it or make it available individually.
Well, that's the problem. If they do it that way and they don't allow people to do what they want with it, somebody will chop it up and then they'll torrent it, and then they'll be really upset because the chopped up version will be free. So you've got to give people options. You've got to have flexibility. Basically, you've got to give people the way they want it.
There's a balancing act between, you know, being the musician/artist and the musician/businessperson. Now, do you want to be the artist who will suffer the indignities of piracy and all that just so your vision and only your vision is presented? Or are you going to be the business person where you're going to give the consumer, the customer, a variety of options that they can have in different ways to enjoy their music?
Well, the thing is, these days, Odokta kind of touched on this, the consumer has the power to enjoy it however they want, no matter what the artist's intention is. Once you put that thing out there, I can chop it up if I want to.
Yeah. We all have tools. Everybody's got laptops and MacBooks and all that kind of stuff. So if somebody wants to do something to your content, they can do it. The best thing you could do is provide the array that is most consumed and let them have it the way they want. I mean, you're fighting against too many free options anymore. Pretty soon I'm going to hear a record and there's going to be advertisements in the middle of the record. You know, Jay-Z's going to be singing a song that's going to be like, Pepsi, 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 because that's the only way they're going to get money.
Couple Jay-Z songs like that, though. I've wondered, like, brand name in there a lot.
Right?
Is that on purpose?
Well, some of those guys are sponsored. So it's like the guys, rappers, you know, they get like the alcohol sponsor on the videos they'll have and they'll rap about it. But you're going to see more of that product placement in music. Well, at least in hip-hop. I don't know how you do that in a rock song, but...
Blame it on the Absolute Vodka album.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe we're at the point where art isn't just the sole property of the artist. Once you've created and you open it up to the public, it becomes public domain, if you will. And, you know, then it begins taking a life of its own, where people will then, like, take either a sample or do a mashup with the song, or, you know, maybe chop up half of it and, you know, add their own stuff to it. So, I mean, I think things are changing. You can't really look at it in the same way you did, say, even 10 years ago, where you said, well, you know, this is my album. I'm going to charge so much per CD. You're going to show up at my shows, buy my crappy T-shirts, maybe a couple of glossies, mugs, and really kind of begin to think is, you know, business, you know, music business is huge, but can it be the same business as it was a decade, two decades ago, or will it have to totally change into something different?
That's why I like what Richard was saying here about progressive dance music, saying, hey, we'll sell you the individual tracks, fine, but we also create these extended starts and endings that you can remix yourself, and we create these whole albums that are mixed together in a way that's different than just listening to each track individually in a row. So you get a different experience than if you just put them all on the iPod because of the way they're mixed. And maybe that's something you could really only do with dance music because the blend is such an integral part of the music.
When you say it that way, it sounds a whole lot better than when you said it earlier. Now, if you're telling me I get some extended music and instrumentals and, you know, somebody can cut it up and make music of their own or listen to it a different way, that sounds better than we're just mixing music. You kept saying mixing music. But what you just said, that sounds like a viable option to get people to buy.
I just
the
reread
music.
What Richard wrote again.
I don't know. I don't know. Again, you just sound, you be talking funny. I was eating a sandwich. I probably wasn't listening to you. There's a whole lot of stuff going on over here. I got sodas and things flying off my face.
You bring up an interesting point. I mean, you both of you have played like Rock Band and Guitar Hero. And one of the big kind of new money makers for a lot of bands is doing the DLC, the downloadable content. You know, you can buy my song and play it in Guitar Hero or Rock Band. For like $12. What would be interesting is if you're like a big, like even if you use something as simple as what's the music program in OS X, a GarageBand, where you as an artist make available your entire track or your entire like discography so people can download it and remix it. But you give them the option. So instead of having everything mixed down to stereo, it would be separate tracks of vocals, guitar, bass, drums that people could play with, and that you charge them a slight premium because you're giving them all this extra material to work with, and then you give them like a license to go with, and they can remake and reuse.
That would be a huge market, and people would make money off of that, just like the ringtone has made artists a lot of money. I mean, Lady Gaga makes a song about telephone, and we're sitting here talking about it on Twitter for what reason I have no clue, but her YouTube video has 1 billion views on it, and this woman has made $1 million plus on the ringtone because it says telephone and every girl has their phone singing telephone when the telephone rings. So downloadable content in a way that people want it is the best way to go. And that's actually a great idea because you get the DJ guys that are mixing in clubs doing it, people that just like to mix music or just want the instrumental or just the vocal. That'd be awesome. People would make money.
All right. Last thing before we wrap it up here. I don't know. You are Odokta, but I don't know if you follow Doctor Who at all.
I do not.
Okay, so you're not gonna be that excited about this, but maybe you can weigh in with an opinion. Doctor Who, the new season is starting April 17th here in the United States. It's a brand new Doctor. The guy is taking over for David Tennant, who played the Doctor for 4 seasons, and technically 3 seasons in a special series, but slice it however you want. It's a brand new Doctor. It's a big deal for fans of the show. It's premiering in the United Kingdom next Sunday, Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. So the question is, they moved it in the United States to close to the time that it's going to be in the UK. But this is going to be out on the torrent sites immediately Probably. After airing in the UK.
Yep.
Are US fans going to wait and watch it on BBC America April 17th? Or was this stupid and they should just air it at the same time in both countries because people are going to go and get it off of BitTorrent?
Well, what I've noticed is it takes a while to encode. So what would you say the time difference would be? Like 2 days, 3 days? How many days separate before the American release versus the UK? It's like a day, isn't it?
No, the UK release will be April 4th and America is April 17th. So it's 13 days between.
All right. Yeah, it'll probably be out. For some reason, I thought you were saying it was coming out the 14th. It's like, that's 4 days.
No, it's coming out the 4th. So you've got 2 weeks practically.
I'm going to see you at WonderCon.
That's dumb. Whoever thought of that just, again, pushes people towards piracy because that's what people will do. The mainstream people won't do it because they don't know any better. But anybody else, that's what they're going to do because they want the show. I mean, I haven't watched that show that much, but people love that show. They're not going to wait.
You know what?
People don't wait.
If they made it available as a flash video inserted with local sponsor commercial spots, I'm one of those people that, would hate to torrent because it takes forever. I watch like repeats of V or whatever when NBC or ABC has it up on their site and just watch it there because it's fast, or watch it on Hulu because it's convenient.
Wow.
What?
I have I'm sitting at home with a 50 down and 30 up. I get a show literally like if it's HBO, it'll be on a torrent that night before I go to bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning if it was a 9 o'clock premiere. And a TV show is pretty much the next day and I can get it in HD and I don't have a little commercial to wait for. So, and it doesn't disappear on me. The problem Hulu has is that they'll put up episode 4, 5, and 6 and then they drop 1, 2, and 3. And so people have to go find 1, 2, and 3 somewhere else because they chop stuff up like that. So, I mean, you're just over there with the slow skis. So you choose convenience over speed. I understand that.
No, I choose convenience. Mainly because, so I download like 50 TV shows. I don't watch that much to begin with. I watch, when I have time. And I'm more likely to just pull up a website because I'm already using a web browser at the time. So it's just more convenient and more intuitive for me to just surf on over to like a Hulu style site.
And Hulu killing it for that. That's mainstream. Most people will do that.
Yeah.
So for Doctor Who, are you going to wait, Roger? Are you gonna,
I'm going to watch it at WonderCon. They're going to have a special showing.
Well, for that first episode, but then every episode after that's still going to be on a 2-week delay.
I'll see. I'll cross that bridge when it comes.
He's going to torn it. Don't let him lie to you, Tom.
He doesn't want
to.
Both of you. Horrible.
I don't want to implicate yourself. That's fine.
Sorry, Dr.
Touch your nose.
I'll torn it for you and put it up on a secret page so you can watch it.
All right. Yeah, you know what? I mean, that's the thing is you don't actually have to break the law and torrent it. You can be in the gray area of the law and watch it streaming because there's all these sites that put this stuff up for streaming.
Yep.
So that you don't have to feel like you're doing anything bad. You're like, well, they had it up. You know, what was I going to do? Turn my eyes away?
They sent it to my email. I'm Dr. Chang. I did not mean to click that button, and I did, and I love the show.
Might just be a Dr. Chang come San Diego Comic-Con.
There you go.
ONJJ Stone, a.k.a. Odocta, it has been a pleasure. Thanks for sticking around and putting off your dinner for us.
Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it, and I apologize for not trusting either of you. I trust you a little bit more than Dr. Chang over there because he hasn't seen that movie, which he will correct sometime this week, or I'll show up at his doorstep. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you got anything you want to plug? Any places, you know, your Twitter account, whatever you want.
At Odocta on Twitter, odocta.com is getting finished up. It'll be launching next week. And IQMZ.com, where I do a little bit of business, and I'm not so jokey.
All right, check them all out. Don't forget also subbrilliant.com/EMW, where we have the ability for you to comment on the show like Richard did, possibly get your comments read in the show. Check that out. Thanks again to Leo for letting us stream live on the Twit Network every Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time. You can watch that as well as catch the video on ODTV afterwards if you want to see the video. And thanks to Jammer B for running the board for us. And thanks to Leo for setting up the board for us. And thanks to Jammer B for getting Odocta sandwich. And
thank you, sir. Thank you.
Awesome.
All right. Cool. We'll see you next time.
Bye. And Patrick's talking to us like he does to his kids.
Patrick.
Oh, Patrick Leo.
Oh,
wow.
If you just call me Patrick, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. You're a dead man. You're a dead Chang. I'm going to kill you.
All those tech show hosts look alike to Roger.
It's true. It's very true.